I'm Kathleen McCarthy. Thanks for joining us here on CatholicInternetRadio.com. We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, reaching around the country and around the world. Coming up is the Holy Rosary.
Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hey, Ken. Hello, everyone out there in Radio Land. Greetings.
And we want to praise and thank God for all those folks out there in Radio Land, all of our listeners. We want to thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years now. Can't thank you enough. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. A couple of quick announcements before we get going here. This coming Saturday on June the 4th at the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul here in Center City, Philadelphia, they will have the normal vigil mass that happens every Saturday at 5:15 p.m. And then Father Dennis Gill will be the principal celebrant, and he'll be joined by Father Raphael Walshick. And then Father Raphael is the delegate for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. So then at 8 o'clock at the cathedral, there will be a Holy Spirit Hour of Power and Praise. We'll continue our celebration beginning at 8 o'clock p.m. with a special time of prayer, praise, and worship, reflection by Father Gill, an invocation of the Holy Spirit to set our archdiocese on fire with the love of Jesus. So all ages and families are welcome. Again, this is this coming Saturday, of course, in preparation for Pentecost Sunday that will begin with the vigil mass, 5:15, and then all day Sunday. So those that are involved in the charismatic movement, many of Kathleen's followers and listeners, this is something that you want to keep in mind. As for some of the other things going on, our Matt Talbot Shrine is alive and well. We're open on Tuesdays and Thursdays in St. Gabriel Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We open up around 9 o'clock following daily mass at 8:30 and stay open until just about 6 o'clock. Tuesdays we close a little bit before 6 to get ready for our Calyx meeting. And Thursdays we're there till 6. Make a pilgrimage. Stop down. Summer times here. Bring the kids. And if you're going to come down, get in touch with us. Call Our House Ministries. You can look us up on the web at ourhouseministries.org. Give us a call. Let us know you're coming, and we can make arrangements to meet you over in the church. On the third Tuesday of the month, and this month that'll be on the 21st, we have our Matt Talbot Healing Mass and Benediction. We have a holy hour beginning at 6 o'clock. We start out with some prayers, exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, during which time confessions can be heard. And then a little before 7, we pray prayers through Matt's intercession, a litany to Matt Talbot, and then close with benediction. We flip the altar, get ready for Mass, and try to get Mass started as close to 7 o'clock as possible. This is all being done in order to pray for those who still continue to struggle with addiction, those that are in recovery, and all of their loved ones. So all are more than welcome to come and join us. We'd love to see you there one of these third Tuesdays.
Yeah, especially this upcoming Tuesday, his anniversary of his eternal birthday.
That's right. That's right. June the 7th, is the day Matt Talbot passed. Let's see, what else? Circle the date on your calendar, Monday, October the 10th, for our golf outing. We'll let you know when the details are available. And if there's any men out there that are looking to make a men's weekend retreat at Malvern, we got plenty of openings on the Edward J. Friel Memorial Retreat. It's the one I first went to some 30 years ago. And that'll be August 19th to the 21st. You can register online at malvernretreat.com. Or get in touch with me through either Our House Ministries or In His Sign. And I can fill you in on any details or answer any questions you might have if you're interested in making that retreat. All right, I think that's it in the way of announcements. Let's get started with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
And this is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our Lady of Recovery in St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximian Kolbe,
pray for us.
Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael,
pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels,
pray for us.
And all the saints and angels,
pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That on the third, O Mary, conceived without sin, we do the longer reply. For those that may not be familiar with it, it was actually written by St. Maximian Kolbe. And, you know, it was one of those things when I first came out here to do the radio broadcasts. I did not realize at the time that In His Sign Catholic Radio was actually part of St. Maximian Kolbe Communications. And, of course, Maximian Kolbe wanted to make use of communications back in the first half of the 20th century. You know, it was using the printing press to put out newsletters and those types of things. But we continue that today using the radio, obviously television with EWTN and what have you. But Maximilian Kolbe was one of the forerunners of all this mass communication when it comes to all things Catholic. So
Maximilian Kolbe, he has a double duty, you know, the patron of In His Sign Network, and also patron of drug addicts.
That's right.
So, I hope you're listening, Max, and intercede for us.
Amen. All right. It's a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, perhaps over our website at inhissign.com, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls as we approach the bottom of the hour. When we come back from our break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, where we'd like to hear from folks about the things that God has done in your life. Maybe in the last couple of weeks, once in a while we'll get callers for things in the past. But we as Catholics need to do a much better job of witnessing to one another what God has done in our lives. And, you know, it makes God real for other people so that, you know, we bear witness to what he's done for us in the hope that they'll do the same for them. We are currently in the seventh week of Easter, and in the last week of the Easter season, it'll close on Sunday with the Feast of Pentecost. But before we get there, on yesterday, the 31st, we celebrated the visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today we celebrate the Feast of St. Justin Martyr. Tomorrow the 2nd is Saints Marcellinus and Peter. On Friday the 3rd, St. Charles Lwanga and Companions. And as I just mentioned, on Sunday the 5th, Pentecost Sunday, we'll be wrapping up the Easter season with the Feast of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the Apostles and Mary and some of the early disciples. and you know, remember that God has done the same for us in giving us access to the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that in just a minute here. So, as I mentioned, today is the feast of Saint Justin Martyr, and one of the first real apologists for the Catholic faith. And when we say apologist, it doesn't mean that we apologize for being Catholic. It means that we said, you know, an apologist is someone that sets out to tell the truth of the faith. And often apologists will get into debates and the, you know, talk about the facts and, you know, what our faith is versus what some people portray it to be. And so Justin Martyr early on was one of the first Catholic apologists, and he would end up losing his head and obviously his life as a direct result. But in reading about, you know, his life, you know, I think about him in the, you know, the first century. He would, I think he would die in, around the year 165. And, you know, he's, you know, fairly close to when Christ was here, you know, only a generation or two away, and you know, got some things I would imagine firsthand. But it really started with his desire to learn the truth. They would start out, you know, studying and various subjects, but eventually would turn to philosophy, you know, and looking for the truth. What is the truth of life, this world? What's its purpose? And started out with, you know, various philosophers prior to him, the Stoics, they call them, eventually getting to Plato. But it wasn't until he learned about Jesus Christ and scriptures and his study of scripture that he found the truth. And as a result, he could combine the two, you know, philosophy and theology, and be able to articulate it very well. And eventually, you know, would travel around the area in the, I guess what today is the Middle East. He would make a couple of trips to Rome, and it was on his second trip there where he gets hauled in by Rusticus. And they kept pretty good notes, I guess, of the hearing that Justin Martyr would get, and with Rusticus asking about the Christian faith. And really, Rusticus seemed to, in my reading, Father and Butler, you know, he really wants to know what's going on. Where do they meet, you know, with the Roman gods? You know, there were only certain places where the Roman gods lived. And, you know, Justin would argue that, you know, we can meet anywhere because God is everywhere. And, oh, by the way, there is only one God, and he's the one that created all of this. And, you know, really schooled Rusticus prior to being sentenced. And, you know, in the end, Rusticus wanted him to, you know, offer worship to the Roman gods, of course. Justin Martyr would refuse, along with a handful of others. And this was even after, you know, he was told that he was going to be tortured. And, you know, he was willing to die for the faith, and was. He and five or six others, I think it was six others, five men and a woman, would be scourged and then beheaded. And, you know, I'd look at us here in the 21st century, and, you know, how many people are really seeking the truth? How many people still study philosophy and find their way through philosophy to the Catholic faith? That's how, you know, Justin Martyr got there. He studied the philosophers who, you know, were trying to, you know, teach what the truth was. And it wasn't until he found Christianity that he found the real truth. And here we are 2,000 years later. The real truth exists today just like it did 2,000 years ago, and yet our churches are less full today than they were 25 years ago. We have less belief in the real presence in the Eucharist. You know, some are saying now it's below 30% of the people that actually believe it's the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we've had 2,000 years of wonderful saints, philosophers, apologists, even the apologists that we have today. And yet we live in a world that is so far from living the truth that, and Father and I and some others have talked about this of late, I mean, to the point where, you know, we're just sitting back and wondering how God's going to fix this and when is he going to fix it? How bad does it have to get before he finally steps in? And then when he does, are people going to be ready for it? Are we willing to, you know, give up our lives for the faith? We're all called to do that, right, Father, through the white martyrdom. But are we perhaps ready to suffer that red martyrdom if we have to? And I'll just end with this. When Justice is going through his back and forth with Justin's going in the back and forth with Rusticus. Rusticus asks him, "Do you believe that if I kill you, that you're going to go to heaven?" And Justin Martyr doesn't hesitate. Absolutely, you know that's the plan, and believes that. And I wonder how many people today, you know, would be willing to put their head on the chopping block, or you know, willing to give up their lives if they knew that it was a direct pass to heaven. You know, don't pass go, don't collect $200. Would we be willing to do that? And I seriously question how many folks would absolutely be willing to do that, myself included. So anyway, that's who we celebrate today, St. Justin Martyr, one of the early martyrs and great apologists for the Christian and Catholic faith.
Okay. You were mentioning about how we Catholics need to really share our faith more. And I just, you know, like these martyrs, how they really share their faith. And there's a real truth force there. And, of course, this is infused. And even to be a martyr by blood has to be infused. We have to experience it. It's Jesus taking over everything. And even like when I worked with the Little Sisters of the Poor and the residents, how afraid they were to die until that last day. Because the grace wasn't there yet. You know, grace is only in the present. So if the Lord's going to ask us to die for him, that grace will be there. The question is, will my heart be opened to that grace? Because it'll be fearlessness. But first I have to die to myself and deny myself, be fortified with the graces of the gospel, Jesus Christ, who's always with us. And Justin Martyr really wrote a lot about the Eucharist, you know, as a father of the church. He goes on, this is really the body, blood, and soul of divinity of Jesus Christ in this little white host. I mean, that's back where he died, 165, and really proclaiming the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And I just heard something on the radio the other day that a new finding was two-thirds of Catholics don't believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. But you know what made me think, Ken? One-third Catholics do. And that one-third Catholics, they're the ones who go to Mass. They're the daily communicants. They're the people in church on Sundays. You know, the other two-thirds are not even in church. So, you know, when you throw out these statistics, you know, one-third, those who believe, are there at the Eucharistic presence of Jesus because we believe in his real presence. So I really didn't get discouraged when I heard two-thirds don't believe, because probably two-thirds of Catholics don't even go to church. And it's really sharing our faith and helping them to have an experience of Jesus and bringing our brothers and sisters back who have left the church, back to the Eucharist, back to the presence of Jesus. Sharing the faith. You know, we had the homily today and was kind of really enjoyed the Mass today, Ken. And, you know, even before Mass, how we just sat around and telling humorous stories, you know, it was like... The beginning, laughter is the beginning of prayer. And then, of course, my homily was really about that elderly man, you know, where Justin Martyr was not a Christian yet, didn't know too much about Christianity at all, but he's walking along a field near the beach, and he comes across this elderly man. But what attracts him is this radiance that's coming off of this elderly man. And so he goes over and they have the conversation, and Justin's talking about what is on his mind as a philosopher. And, of course, this elderly man tells him about this great philosophy that's greater than all other philosophies, and that's Christianity. And so he's so moved that he starts to delve into finding out more about it, and he begins to really study the scriptures, and these scriptures are burning his heart. And with his philosophical background, he can make that bridge into Christianity. and how he goes on fire with the Holy Spirit, and he has that truth force. You know, here's the elderly man. It's a truth force, Ken, and that comes from the Holy Spirit, and it radiates out of us. I was thinking about even, you know, when we were on that retreat in Washington, D.C., a few years ago, Ken,
yep,
for the Calyx Society, which we're going to be this year as well. There was a talk by one of the Franciscan priests, and he was talking about that key word, truth force, and that always stuck with me. And he was saying that how Edith Stein, right, the Jewish woman who becomes a saint and a martyr, Benedictine of the Cross, but how it all happened with her is that she comes across a book, you know, The Life of Teresa Avila, and she reads this book in one sitting, and she closes the book and says, this is truth. This is truth. Teresa Avila sharing her faith in that wonderful work of hers. And also, you know, Benedicta of the Cross, Edith Stein, she would go to Mass and see these Catholics enwrapped in prayer. And that was the truth, that they believed in the real presence of Jesus. That touched her heart. And she becomes a Catholic and a martyr in the church. And at what cost? You know, really, it was really, you know, her family turned against her. Her mother did. That she left the Jewish faith and became a Catholic. Her sister followed her, and they went to martyrdom. You know, but the truth force there, sharing the faith. But, yeah, it's just that the radiance, you know, turn to the Lord and be radiant with joy. It's opening our hearts and let Jesus fill them and overflow them. And now, you know, we don't even have to say anything. We can be witnesses just by living good lives and good example, like St. Francis said, at all times preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. So if we're out there really, you know, living a peaceful life and joyful life and helping others and doing good deeds, inevitably somebody's going to start talking to us about our faith. And then we can speak about our Catholic faith, about Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, about the Gospels, about the Blessed Mother, about his real presence in the Eucharist, and all of this. You know, it's how we win souls over, because it's not us doing it. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in us. It's that truth force. But I really think how somebody lays down their life, it's not for philosophy, and it's not for any ideas. It's for a person. They fall in love with Jesus, who's our friend, who's our God, who comes to us as one of us, so that we may be one with him in his divinity. And it's a beautiful account of his martyrdom in the Office of Readings today. And I just like to read a few lines from that with Rusticus. You have mentioned a few of them, Ken. But here's Rusticus says, so you're a Christian then, are you? Yes, I am a Christian. And then the prefect said to Justin, well, you are called a learned man and think you know what is true teaching. Listen. If you were scourged and beheaded, are you convinced that you would go up to heaven? And Justin said, I hope that I shall enter God's house if I suffer in that way. For I know that God's favor is stored up until the end of the whole world for all who have lived good lives. And then the prefect Rusticus said, well, do you have an idea that you will go up to heaven to receive some suitable rewards? And Justin said, it's not an idea that I have. It is something I know well, and I hold to be most certain. Now let us come to the point at issue, Rusticus said, which is necessary and urgent. Gather around then, and with one accord, offer sacrifice to the gods. And Justin said, no one who is in right thinking stoops from true worship to false worship. Well, if you do not do as I commanded you, you'll be tortured without mercy. And Justin said, well, we hope to suffer torment for the sake of Jesus Christ and to be saved. For this will bring us salvation and confidence as we stand before the more terrible and universal judgment seat of our Lord and Savior. In the same way, the other martyrs also said, do what you will. We are Christians, and we do not offer sacrifices to idols. And there they're led out to be tortured, scourged, capital punishment, and beheaded, and become those witnesses of martyrdom in confessing their faith in their Savior. So what really hit me there, Ken, was really, you know, when he said, do you have an idea? And Hallie comes back and says, it's not an idea. It's an experience. It's a knowing. It's a certainty. And this is what the saints show us. You know, they're in the world, but they're not of the world. You know, these mystics, really, when you think about it, they're more aware of the presence of Jesus next to them than they are to the person that they're speaking to. I mean, that's the communication that they have with the risen Christ. He reveals himself. Now, that doesn't happen overnight. You know, we have to do what he says. You know, we have to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, follow Jesus. We have to obey his holy word, you know, to do what he tells us. As the Father tells us, listen to him, you know. And when I often think with Peter, when with the real presence of Jesus, and a lot of them left because they couldn't take it and they couldn't believe it. Are we cannibals? And Jesus let them go. And he turned to Peter and the other disciples and said, will you too leave me? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. But this beautiful experience, Ken, of his real presence through the power of the Holy Spirit, who reveals Jesus in every way, gives them that power, that strength, that fearlessness, and that courage to lay down their lives, not only in the red martyrdom, but in the white martyrdom. They will give the blessing for the curse. They love their enemies. They pray for their persecutors. They live that gospel, that whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel. There's no corner cutting. It's all pure gospel, and it's alive. It's the word of God. And that's one of the things that really hit me the most was when Resica said, do you have an idea? You know, it's just not an idea. I know it well, and I'm most certain of it. And when he uses the word hope, this is the other thing I want to say. Justin said, I hope that I shall enter God's house. That hope means I expect it to happen. I anticipate it to happen. It's not worldly hope. I hope it doesn't rain on my picnic, or I hope I hit the lottery, or I hope the Eagles and the Phillies win. No. Christian hope is it's going to happen because Jesus Christ said so. And I believe in him, and I trust in him. They're the lives of the saints. That's how they share their faith with us. Saints start fires, and that's what we're to do as Christians. We're to be the light of Christ, to let Jesus Christ, his light, shine through us. And we too, if called to be martyrs by blood, we will do it by the grace of God. But in the meantime, by the grace of God, we can follow him, do his will, and live that holy gospel of his, Ken.
Amen. Well, when we chatted this morning, we said we'd probably have time to get started with Pentecost before we go to the break, but we're just about there. I want to give out the phone numbers again, especially if you've had as Father and I have both mentioned now, you know, a witness story, a way that God's touched you in a particular way in the last couple of weeks, or, you know, even further back, if you want to share it with us, we'd love to hear it. The numbers, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call us toll free, 888-343-2484. Father, you have a final word on Justin?
My final word would be this. You know, he died at 165, and you know, this is the first day of June that's dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Ken. And it's just like how strong he was as a father of the church, that this is really Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, which means it's his heart in this little white host, his Sacred Heart. When Jesus says, come to me, we know where he's at. This is my body. This is my blood. You know, John 6, you know, how he just, whoever believes in me, you know, whoever receives my body and drinks my blood has eternal life. It's already begun, that he gives himself to us totally and completely in the Holy Eucharist. And this comes from all the fathers of the church. And Justin really hits hard on the real presence of Jesus Christ. And so my final word would be that Jesus Christ, his most Sacred Heart, is in his most body, blood, soul, and divinity, Ken. And, you know, do we have another minute?
Yeah.
I was thinking with Patrick when he answered about, you know, the prayers to the Sacred Heart of Jesus at the end of Mass and the Venus and all and what prayers to be said. I just want to say this one prayer that we can, you know, end this segment here on Justin Martyr. But it's a prayer in union with Jesus. In the front is the Sacred Heart of Jesus pointing at his heart and blessing us, as he does in benediction. Lord Jesus, grant me the grace to empty myself and be filled with your love, peace, patience, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, and understanding. Let every beat of my heart and every breath that I breathe be for you. Let every word that I speak be reflective of you. Let every glance I give be a mirror of you. Let every hand I touch feel your gentle care. Let every step I take be on your path towards your light. Let every word of praise I may receive be directed to you in humble thanksgiving. Let every angry word said to me or against me be returned with words of love and mercy, not anger and revenge. Let every desire I have be for you. Let my will conform to yours. Touch every cell of my body, Lord, and make me the person, the servant, you want me to be. Amen. Sacred Heart of Jesus, we place all our trust in your loving mercy, forgiving mercy for us. Amen, Ken.
Amen. All right, that brings us to the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need you to call. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio that allows us to bring you great shows like today's. Father and I got to know each other some 13 years ago as a result of our involvement or mutual interest in the Calix Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. We meet every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood in the annex building to St. Gabriel's Church. The building's on the corner of 30th and Dickinson, and the entrance is around the corner on Myrtlewood. There's a magnet on the door that you use. It'll say the Calix Society on it. Come on up to the third floor on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock for a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock p.m. Just a reminder, on the third Tuesday, we're over in St. Gabriel's Church, and this month that'll be June 21st. We'll remind you between now and then. We have a Calyx unit that meets at St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside. We meet there on the third Saturday of each month. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass in the morning and then have our Calyx meeting afterwards. The next meeting at St. Luke's will be on Saturday, June the 18th. We have a unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown. They meet on the first and third Wednesday of the month Wednesday of the month, 7 o'clock in the parish center. Their next meeting will be tonight. So you can hop on over to Queen of the Universe in Levittown. Join Tommy Gallagher and the rest of the crew there at 7 o'clock tonight. And our most recent unit is at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield, and they have their meeting on the last Saturday of the month. They just met this past Saturday, so they won't get together again until the end of this month. They go to the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass and then a Calyx meeting afterwards. I often neglect them, and not intentionally, but we also have another unit within listening distance in Wilmington, Delaware. They get together at St. Matthew's in Wilmington for 6 o'clock Mass with Father Hazard, and they have restarted their in-person meeting afterwards, so they'll be meeting tonight. A lot of times when Tom Dillon calls, they'll be calling from the parking lot down there. He gets down there a little bit early for that meeting, so again, that's Wilmington, Delaware, St. Matthew's Church, 6 o'clock Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And last but not least, at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be joined by Michael McDonald from the Catholic League. We're going to be talking about the upcoming Roe v. Wade decision, as well as the Texas mass shooting and other things that Catholic League's been involved in of late. So you'll want to stick around for that. So, is that odd or is that God? I guess, like the lack of folks in the pews, there's a lack of callers, Father. We surely God has touched somebody out there. And maybe if you and I share one, we can get, we might spark an interest here. One happened last night, and it was actually after the Calyx meeting. Probably 7, 8, 9 months ago, we started giving out membership cards for those that are dues-paying members of the Calyx Society, and we ask all the members to pray two prayers, one for the living members and one for the deceased members. And so I've been mailing them out, handing them out, the people that come to the Grace Ferry. And last night, I had a couple in my pocket. I wasn't sure if I had given out a few of them. And one of them was for a frequent caller, Boston Bob. And, we were talking after the meeting, and then I mentioned to him, I said, hey, I got a membership card here with your name on it. Did I give you one the last time you renewed? And he goes, you did, but you're not going to believe this. He goes, I was going to ask you for another one. And with that, he reaches into his pocket, and he pulled it out, and it had just gone through the wash this week. And, I was like, is that odd or is that God? Because I've actually had that for 3 weeks now, but I finally brought him over to the meeting last night. And here he was, if I hadn't mentioned it first, he was going to ask me for one. So is that odd or is that God?
It's God. You know, it is timing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, Bob was showing me the, his membership card last night, too, as we were walking, all washed out, but how that happened. And that is God. And sometimes he's always revealing himself, but sometimes we're so blinded, Ken, we don't see it. But it's that precise moment, that timing. No coincidences, only God incidences. But I can share mine.
Yep.
Just what we're saying, sharing our faith. Everybody that's listening out there, are moved by these stories because we're all part of the stories. There's one story. It's the human story. It's the God story. In all our hearts, and we relate to one another and to God himself. But during my night vigil a few nights ago, I think it might have been Friday night, yeah. And I was reading the book, In Sino Jesu, and that's about a Benedictine monk who has locutions, and a locution is hearing the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Blessed Mother, or the voice of an angel or a saint. But he really receives a lot of locutions, and it's a book really written for priests, but the faithful get a lot out of it as well. It's really for everybody, to be honest with you. But anyway, I'm reading on one of the days. It was the Thursday, July 10th, 2008, that this was recorded. And it goes like this. Enter into the feast of St. Benedict with humility and with gratitude, and I will not forsake you, says Jesus. I am doing all that I promised you. Trust in my merciful love. Turn often to my most holy mother. Come before my face in this sacrament of my love. This will be your resting place, and my Eucharistic heart will be the anchoring place of your soul. And, you know, I was just intrigued about this anchor, you know. Anchor, it's not mentioned a whole lot in there, but an anchor has so much significance. When I think about an anchor on a boat, you know, the waters can be really turbulent on the surface, but as you go deeper, the anchor keeps the boat stabilized. And the thing is that our anchor is the place of our soul. And I read Hebrews 6:19, and it said that your anchor is the soul, is the place of the soul. And the Eucharistic heart is to be our anchor, that we're anchored into his heart. So I'm reading this, you know, and I'm sitting there and just savoring this anchor. And it's about 10:30 at night, and I'm ready for bed. And I look at my phone, and there's a text. And it's from Patrick, and he says, I'm putting a gift from Tom Moore on your desk. And I said, oh, okay, that sounds good. Tom's back from Boston. And I said, I'm too tired to go down. You know, I'm going to go to bed. I'll see the gift in the morning. And something said, no, go down now. So I was kind of like pushed down the stairs, and I get this gift. And what is it? It's an anchor. And it has, I'm going to read it, really huge, real big. You know, and it says anchored, and the words on it is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, Proverbs 3:5. I said, wow, you know, odd or God, that anchor. So I couldn't wait to tell Tom. I saw him, I think it was Saturday early before the barbecue at his place, and he was in the car. I said, well, I'm going to share it when I go around there. I couldn't wait to sit down with Tom, and I did. And I shared that story about the anchor. And usually when I get a gift, you know, I look at it, it's nice, and I can't keep all the gifts that I get, especially around Christmas. I peek at them, and I rewrap them and form them out again to other people. But this one is hanging right on my wall now, Ken, because that's what it is. It's being anchored in the heart of Jesus, not in this world, you know, but in his world. We're in the world, but not of the world. So there's more to the story after I finished telling Tom. It can't be 5 minutes later, you know, and the recovering guys that are there from the different houses. And this guy comes up, and he's very well-versed in the scriptures. And he started to quote certain scriptures. And then he quoted this scripture, Ken, from Proverbs 3:5. He said this. I'm looking at him. And he memorized it by heart. He says, Father, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Now, I mean, really, it's that timing, right? Bingo, back. And Tom was telling me that he had that anchor for 3 weeks, and Rose had it. But it wasn't until, you know, after reading that about the anchor that I received the anchor. I could have got that anchor three weeks ago. It probably wouldn't have meant that much. But after reading it and the Lord touching my heart with the significance of being anchored in him, and then seeing that anchor, he was shouting that out at me. And then hearing it again from this guy that I didn't even know, quoting that proverb about being anchored in the Lord and trusting him and loving him and trusting in that mercy of love of his. He delights in that when we trust in his loving mercy, Ken. But that's my otter, God. I share that.
Yeah.
Hopefully somebody will call in and share something. You know. We'll see. Share our faith.
Well, now I know why. Now I know why we got COVID. For our regular listeners, you're probably aware Father and I were out for the first couple Wednesdays in May after contracting COVID while we were away on a retreat. And the Thursday after that retreat was when we were supposed to have the ladies from Mercy Hospice over to the Matt Talbot Shrine, women that are in recovery. And unfortunately, they had a couple of women that had left their program and subsequently died. And so they wanted to come visit the Matt Talbot Shrine and then have a little prayer service in our Matt Talbot Chapel across the street. And then we were going to have a catered lunch for about 25 people or so. And Rosie was supposed, you know, is the Grace Ferry caterer. She was going to make the lunch for us. And I suspect that if that had gone off,
I would have got the anchor.
You would have got the anchor. So we got COVID, so you could have the otter god on Saturday with the anchor story.
Right.
It's all about the time. Amen. Yeah.
That timing. Boom. And he lets you know.
Amen.
He's always with us until the end of the world.
All right. Well, we got about 15 minutes left. I'll give out the numbers one more time in case anybody wants to chime in. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or 888-343-2484. Beginning of the show, when I was going through the liturgical calendar, we mentioned that this coming Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter, and will be the culmination of our Easter season. When we get together again next week, we'll be in ordinary time. So, you know, of course, Pentecost is the celebration of the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles and Mary, and you know, there's so much that can be said about it, and I'll just be quick that it always amazed me that, you know, following the resurrection and ascension, and these apostles had lived with Jesus for 3 years, had been instructed day in and day out as to what the kingdom was and how it was going to come about. And you know, he even tells the apostles that, you know, he's got to go so that the Holy Spirit can come and be with them. And yet they locked themselves in the upper room. I guess they had people that either would sneak out or to get food or people that brought them food. I don't know. But, you know, they're scared, literally scared to death. And in a few moments when the Holy Spirit descends upon them, all of a sudden they're willing to go to their death. They're willing to go to the ends of the earth in order to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, to proclaim the kingdom. And all but John the evangelist would lose their lives as a direct result of their belief in Jesus Christ. You know, the first of the martyrs. And so, you know, that's the difference that the Holy Spirit can make in all of our lives, that we can go from, you know, being living in fear, living in worry, despairing, to being people of hope, to knowing that there is an answer to all of our problems, and that we may not recognize it right away or understand it, but, you know, Jesus Christ is it. And the blessing that we have to be in recovery and, you know, to have been away from the church and the faith and a relationship with God, you know, that through whatever addiction we had, you know, that forced us to take a second look and rebuild that relationship with God, and to know that, you know, so many people that we get to minister to have gone from living lives of, you know, fear and, you know, dishonesty and everything else to being upright citizens, to being, you know, men among men and women among women, as a direct result of their faith in God, which wouldn't be possible without the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, Pentecost, 50 days after the risen Lord. One of the things, you know, the definition, first definition, of the Holy Spirit comes from Acts 1:8, and it's called power. It makes me think of the second step, Ken. Came to believe that a power, capital P, greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, and also, even more importantly, to sanctity. That the Holy Spirit, the power, he's the helper, the paraclete, which means to be the helper. And Jesus said, I would send another another paraclete, another advocate, another helper. I often think of that saying where the guy is, he prays to the Lord. He says, so far today, Jesus, Lord God, I've been very good. I haven't drank or smoked. I haven't taken any drugs. I haven't cursed or lied. I haven't committed any sexual sins whatsoever. And I have been faithful. But, Lord, in a little while, I'm going to be getting out of bed, and I'll need all the help I can get. Mm-hmm. And we do. We need all the help we can get, and all that help is in the Holy Spirit. And we've been reading and proclaiming the Acts of the Apostles, which really is the gospel called the gospel of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is mentioned like 40 times, but that power, that's what it means, power. And, you know, Ken, you heard me say over and over again, nothing happens without the Holy Spirit. We can't even say that Jesus Christ is Lord without the Holy Spirit. I keep thinking of those two lights, the prophetic light and the sanctification light of the Holy Spirit. I have the prophetic light now. You had it when you were speaking. And all the listeners out there have the sanctification light. And we can understand what's happening and what we're saying and the truth for us and what's coming through us and understand that and have that knowledge and that wisdom all by the power of the Holy Spirit. They're the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And even, you know, we hear about the power right there at the, I talked about this on Tuesday night, where the Annunciation, and Mary asks the angel Gabriel, you know, how can this be? How can I conceive a child? And the answer is that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. There it is right there. You know, Gabriel is calling the Holy Spirit power. And then again, we hear it at the epiclesis when the priest puts his hands over the bread and wine, and he calls the Holy Spirit down upon the bread and wine, that the bread and wine may become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's by the power of the Spirit. And where it all leads to is that I am to be divinized. I am to become God by participation. How can that ever happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit, by my yes. The yes of the priest at ordination, the yes of Mary, and it's my yes. Let it be done to me, as you say. What's he want to be done unto us is that we are divinized. We become God. We become one heart, one spirit, one mind, one will with the heart of Jesus, and we live forever just like the angels, but always about the Holy Spirit. I often think of a flashlight, Ken. You know, the light shines, but the source of the power is the battery. And it's like the source of our goodness, of our good deeds. It is the battery. It's called the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that saying where Anthony of Padua would say, you know, like the life of the body is the soul. And the life of the soul is God. It's the Holy Spirit. I often think of that. Well, I can't move a baby finger, have a thought, have a movement, have a heartbeat, take a breath without the power of the Holy Spirit. I think I'm doing everything myself. I do nothing of myself. You know, everything's I don't manufacture virtues. They come through me, but not from me. And I always think, Kev, when I see a dead body, you know, called in, and you know, you see a dead body, you anoint a body, and I've seen a lot of dead bodies in my priesthood, and I would look at that corpse, and something is missing. Rather, someone is not there. That person now is separated from their body. That body has no more power. You know, when you think about our soul, I have will, intellect, and memory. And my will says to my hand, raise up. My will says to my mouth, and, you know, speak. And I speak. But this is all coming from, you know, my soul. But it's God, the Holy Spirit, that is animating my soul. You see, my soul animates my body, but it's God and the Holy Spirit that animates my soul. We are so close to God. He is so close to us, and I forget that. And the Holy Spirit is always the missing link. What you were saying, Ken, think about this. You know, they've seen the risen Christ, the apostles. They ate with them. Jesus made breakfast for them. He was there with them. He appeared to them for 40 days, right, showing himself, showing off his wounds. And yet, when he ascended, where did they go? Into a room for 9 days, the first novena, you know, waiting for the Holy Spirit. But they're afraid. The doors are locked. The doors are locked. And yet, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes upon them, And right away, they're on fire. They go out, you know, and they got all these people from all over. And they have this wonderful story to tell about the risen Christ. I'm going to tell you a story about a dead man that was crucified, and now he's alive and he's risen from the dead. It's like I would say John Fitzgerald Kennedy is out here in front of St. Gabriel's Church. You know, you want to talk to him, or Pope John Paul II. You know, that's hard to believe. But this is what they're doing. They're just telling the gospel. And the truth force of the Holy Spirit touches all the hearts of all the people, and they have different languages, and they understand one another, and they believe. Over 3,000 are baptized. How does this all happen? Truth force, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the missing link. So there's more beyond what we sense, what we see and touch and smell and taste. More beyond that, it's our souls. And more beyond our souls is our God, the plus ultra. I just end with this story. I always like this story about the Queen Isabella of Spain and Christopher Columbus is setting sail to discover the New World, and they believe that around the Strait of Gibraltar is the end of the world, and they think they're going to fall off. Actually, they're praying Our Father's Hail Marys. They think the world might be flat, and they're going to fall off. And so Queen Isabella has this motto, flag, that says, ne plus ultra in the Latin, which means there's nothing more beyond here at that point. There's nothing more beyond that point. But they believe, and they go on. And they pass that place where they thought it was the edge of the world, and they discover the new world. And they find all these wonderful gifts. They even bring the natives back. They bring the different vegetable and fruits back. And Queen Isabella is so impressed. She says, what do we do with the royal motto? She says, I know what we'll do. We'll just drop the nay and have plus ultra, plenty more beyond here. The plenty more beyond this world that we see and sense that's going to end and corrupt. There's another world, plenty more, and that's the world of the kingdom of God, where we experience true peace, joy, happiness, glory, and all the wonderful gifts of the Father, all these grandeurs that he has in store for us, that the eye has not seen or the ear has not heard, all these grandeurs. And I keep thinking of the mystics in John of the Cross. Oh, souls called to these grandeurs and created for them, what are you doing? And how are you spending your time? Live the gospel, and Jesus will reveal himself to us. The Holy Spirit will be upon us. We will have this fire within us. We will be able to share our faith. We will have this truth force coming through us, this light of Christ, and people will see it and know it. All we have to do is say the message, tell the truth, proclaim the gospel, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest, Ken. The power of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Upon our hearts, make them one with Jesus, and lead us home to the Father, to those verdant pastures beside restful waters.
Amen. You know, and every time you said power in the last couple of minutes.
Oh, yeah, I know you're going to say.
Marty Rotella.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When Marty came down to, you know, Grace Furry and, you know, did his talk, and he taps into that Holy Spirit. He taps into the power, and, you know, we're in a battle, and if there was any time that we ever needed the power, it's right now, with the spiritual warfare and the spiritual battle that we're in right now, the attacks on our church, on our country, on all things Catholic. We need the power now more than ever. So it's time to tap in. All right, Father, we got about 30 seconds left, so we get your blessing.
Okay. Name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father, we praise and thank you for your two arms, your Son Jesus, the Sacred Heart, and your Holy Spirit, that embraces us and draws us closer to yourself, every breath, every step, every heartbeat along the way, to come home to you and live forever with all our loved ones who are already there praying for us. I ask that you bless our world with peace, our nation, and our own hearts with peace, and that gift of your Holy Spirit. Help us to live that confirmation of yours, Lord, and receive those gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit and proclaim it to all that we meet. Bless us all, Lord, with that gift of your Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless everyone, Ken.
All right, Father. Thanks, pal. Our guest for the 5 o'clock hour is already on the line, so we'll be back right after a short break. Don't go away.